A gruesome story leads off our newscast.
Milwaukee police found body parts in a Northside apartment, and now they wonder if they've uncovered some kind of death factory.
At least 30 people have been found dead at a hotel.
Police found parts of bodies, leading them to believe the man they arrested is a mass murderer.
C-O-Z-O.
Oh my God!
And welcome everybody to another episode of Lobotomized. I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Yes, and we are inching closer and closer to Thanksgiving here, so we're going to keep that Thanksgiving theme going, and tonight we're going to be talking about Thanksgiving crimes.
Which is crazy, because typically when you think of a holiday, generally speaking, you think of happy times, with your family.
I mean, at the
good food.
At the worst, like, you just expect maybe that, like, political disagreement.
Correct. Yeah. When you think family drama, you think of,
like, you have, like, that whole discussion.
Oh, grandpa's out of line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Grandpa had one too many freaking Jack and Coke.
Start
ranting off about the Senate.
Keeps talking about the good old days, whatever that means.
Yes. Yearning for those good old days.
If someone brings over a girlfriend or boyfriend, you know, someone doesn't like.
Yep.
You never called boys or sat in parked cars with boys. Or
you stick with your own, see? You stick with your own. Yeah, you know, like that whole conversation. That's the
kind of drama that you think.
Yeah.
That's expected.
That is expected. what I found, I don't know about you guys, was not expected at all.
No. Oh, I was not expecting what I was finding, especially that's for sure.
The last one we did was Halloween crap. You figured that would be the number one.
You would think, but I think Thanksgiving is way worse than Halloween.
Oh yeah.
As we are about to get into.
There are some doozies in here, man.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because apparently my number one was also your number one, Amanda. So,
oh, yeah. That was the first thing I found, and I couldn't stop reading about it. I go, you've got to be kidding me.
Start off with a banger.
It was just so funny, too. Yeah, because like I was saying off mic when I started doing research, this was the first story that I found, too. It's like,
all right.
Yeah, it's like, fucked up Thanksgiving, you know, whatever, looking up stuff. Spoiler alert, she ate him. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, okay. So this is how Thanksgiving is going to be. Okay. So, Amanda, why don't you take us through this?
Well, okay. So the first one we're going to talk about, her name is Omaima Nelson. But it's funny because I know, Kevin, you have your notes on this and I have my notes on this. And I'm actually going to start from her villain origin story.
No, you go right ahead. Yeah,
so, this is good because I didn't hear anything about this.
So she grew up, she's an Egyptian immigrant, but she lived in Egypt until she was 18. And she was lived in the southern part near the Sudanese border, which is extreme poverty.
Yeah, it's not a good area.
It's not a good area. She had a very hard life, very abusive childhood. I guess her father was, you know, abusive. I mean, not just to her, but to her whole family. They didn't go too much into that, but I guess she had a very, very bad childhood. She even underwent a forced female genital mutilation, which is horrendous. Mm. For those of you who don't know what that is, feel free to Google it and just gag. But it's an awful thing that a girl can go through. And she went through, girls go through it at a young age. She went through it at like 7. So either way, I guess her mom finally relocated the family to Cairo and left her husband, which was Omaima's dad, because he was just horrible to them. Cairo really wasn't any better. I mean, yeah, they got away from her abusive dad, but Cairo was still, I mean, they lived in the slums. She actually, as she aged, she grew up to be a very beautiful young lady, and actually fell in love with an oil worker from the U.S., and I guess her family really pushed her to get married mm-hmm. to this guy because, you know, he's from the U.S., yeah. you know, why not? You know, she's got nothing going for her. So she was only 18. Mm. So she got married. They wed in 1986, but marriage did not last. But now that she was in America, she's single, she's poor. She hardly speaks any English. She needed a way to make money. She definitely did not want to go back to Cairo. That was just non-negotiable. Sure. Like, she was not going back there. So she did anything she could, like odd jobs for cash, like nannying and things like that. And finally got a part-time gig as a model, which helped her. But at some point, and they didn't go into it, but at some point, as she's starting to make money and all this stuff, her jobs just started turning criminal. She started going into bars, meeting guys, and honestly just started scamming them out of money. So she would just date guys and just defraud them of money. And she would go from man to man mm-hmm. and then skip town. Go to the next man, skip town. Yep. And it actually escalated to the point where she would tie them up and hold them at gunpoint.
Oh, damn.
And
oh, yeah, she was a real piece of shit.
Rob them and then just bounce. So that's really, you know, and well, we're going to see them. When she did this murder, she was only 23. I mean, she's young. Right. So that was her in, you know, 18, she came to the U.S. and this is what she did. She did this to survive. She chose a very horrible criminal route of just defrauding guys and going to the next one. And then in 1991, well, she ended up finding herself in Orange County. She skipped from town to town, finally went to Orange County, California, where she met a guy named Bill Nelson.
So No. What's his name?
William Nelson.
not the
Willie.
Willie Nelson, but A. Willie Nelson.
A. Willie Nelson.
A. Willie yeah. Nelson, yes.
Willie's still out there.
Yeah, well, Willie Nelson's fine. Yeah. William Nelson, not so much. But
no, yeah.
So
sorry, William.
So I guess that they had met in 1991 while playing pool, and Bill is at the time he was a 56-year-old Texan who actually had a criminal history himself. Like, you know, he was apparently a pilot who was fired because he was found to be smuggling
marijuana and
electronics from Mexico.
Yeah, he got busted. He was like Han Solo. Like, that's like awesome.
Treetop flyer.
Yeah, dude. I mean, he's awesome. Yeah.
So,
but Willie Nelson's awesome. I mean, both of them.
Crazy, though, too. He's from Texas as well.
Yeah. Like Willie Nelson.
Like, legendary country music artist Willie.
I bet he smuggled weed across the Mexican border, too.
To Willie Nelson.
Yeah, probably.
What's your name?
William
Nelson.
They're like pointing at each other like the Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, it's funny because I also heard they're like, you know, even though the fact that he like smuggled marijuana and electronics over Mexico and spent time in federal prison, like otherwise he was a decent guy.
He's a decent guy with that.
He's a decent guy.
That just makes him cooler.
Sounds like a cool guy.
I was gonna say that just makes him cooler.
So I guess so he spent time in prison, and then when he got out of prison, he actually moved to Orange County for a new life and a new job because, you know, that's what you need to do. And Bill already had, because he was 56, he had 5 children, 17 grandkids, wasn't afraid to occasionally flash money around. He owned a red Corvette, and I guess Omima was only 23 at the time. she likes the older guys, and I'm sure it was because they had money. And yeah. Probably could just fall for her shit.
Well, obviously, she had some daddy issues as well. So. Yeah,
sure did.
Correct. Yeah.
A lot of other issues as well, too.
Mm-hmm. Crazy bitch.
And so they met, and it was like a whirlwind. They actually married 1 month after meeting, which to me, that's fucking crazy.
That's
and I don't think that either of you have good intentions if you get married after a month. I'm sorry. Like, Jesus, I'll never get married. Not even after dating a month, like meeting. Like, met him and then a month later.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's ridiculous.
It's 4 weeks. Yeah. I mean,
that's... It wasn't even like you knew each other and then you dated for a month and you got married, which is still crazy. But from meeting.
Willie Nelson should fucking know better.
Yes.
Like, if anybody, like, her, like, I understand. She's the one trying to, like, swindle the fuck out of him. But, like, come on, dude. You should know better.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder if she's been in the U.S. for 5 years, if she still doesn't really have a grasp of the English language or what, you know? I wonder.
I mean, after 5 years, like, come on, man. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, show some fucking effort after 5 years. Like, come on.
Well, maybe she did. Like, she didn't know a lot of English when she first came here when she was 18. Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure it got better with time.
I would hope so.
But you have to try to, like, swindle all those other guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess according to Bill, everything seemed good. You know, they talked to his daughter. I guess he even invited his daughter over for Thanksgiving dinner, but she declined. But so actually the way I'm going to explain it is, so Thanksgiving, we'll say Thanksgiving came and gone. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to fast forward to December 1st. So December 1st, there was a guy who actually, I don't remember his name, but he was a guy who dated Omima very briefly the year before. So just some random guy.
Okay.
And he heard, just a really hard knocking at the door, like in the middle of the night. He's like, this. So he looked out his window and he sees a red Corvette. Well, he didn't recognize a red Corvette. So he just went back to bed. He was like, I'm not getting this.
Yeah.
I don't know who this is. I'm going back to bed. So whatever. That was that. And then the next day when it got light in the afternoon, he heard the rapping, rapping, rapping on the door again. He saw the same red Corvette out there. He's like, what the hell, man? But since it was daylight, he opened the door. And he saw that it was Omima. And he's like, oh, this chick? Like, yeah. I mean, we dated briefly.
You owe me $200.
Yeah.
Yeah. We dated briefly, like, you know, last year. But anyways, I guess she was, like, you know, sobbing. And, you know, she said she needed help cleaning up a crime. And the way she described it is her husband was like abusing her. He was holding her captive. And so in self-defense, she had killed him in self-defense. And she needed help cleaning up and getting rid of the body. She told, who knows if why she confided in him, you know, but whatever. She said that she would give him $75,000 and 2 motorcycles.
Jesus.
I mean, it's pretty good.
So, the guy goes, okay, well, yeah, I'll help you. Why don't you, you know, go back to your house. I'll meet you there.
Mm.
So she leaves. This guy's not
stupid. No, I'm not going to be accomplice to this shit. No. Are you serious?
So he immediately calls the police and goes, hey, this girl just like confided in a murder. You know, and she told him, I think she had cut up the body, like, and stuff. So she told him this. And
Jesus.
So he calls the cops and says, dude, this chick just came over and just confessed murder. This is her. You know, I'm sure he told her where, obviously she said where she lives or whatever. Yeah. And so then the police go, I think they find her at her car first. Like the police, you know, find her.
Mm-hmm.
And she completely denies, like, she's like, I didn't say anything.
No.
I didn't say anything. Like,
no.
He's completely making it up. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Pretty much that's what she says. And then I guess, I think they were starting to ask her questions and the way she was answering was kind of weird. And she said, Bill's fine. you know, he's just on either out for like work, you know, he's out for work or he's traveling elsewhere. And so she had either a suitcase in her back seat or something in the back seat or the trunk or something. Mm-hmm. And they open it up, they search it, and there are organs. Human organs.
Yeah, that'll get you busted.
It was a suitcase. It was something in the car. So whether I can't remember if it was a bag, suitcase, just like
sitting on the back seat.
They're not just like in seatbelts, like happily trying to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And so then she changed her story to, "Oh, that's somebody that Bill killed, my husband. So that's somebody that he killed." You know. And so you're just fucking driving around with it. You know, who knows?
Yeah, that doesn't make any goddamn sense.
So, well, but she already saw, like, they clearly had human organs. Well, yeah. So what else are you going to say?
Let's touch on what exactly happened with Willie Nelson here.
Yeah, so at this time is when the police go and then see what happened at the house.
So basically what happened was, I mean, she has her own story, but this is what, based on the evidence, he'd been repeatedly stabbed with scissors, and apparently when she didn't think that that was good enough, she ended up beating him with a iron, like, until he stopped moving, basically.
Yes. I read, too, that the iron, she beat him long enough that it broke, even, which is...
You know how hard you have to bash something to break a fucking iron? Right. Like, that's ridiculous. After that, she then dismembered his body, boiled his hands in water as an attempt to remove fingerprints for some reason.
That's what I had read.
Why? Like, if they find hands, like, I mean, I guess it's to, is she planning on putting the hands somewhere where they're going to be found? You know, like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. I don't get that. But here, she castrated him. After that, which is fucking gross. You can Google that as well. So,
because
that's fucking gross. And then reportedly she cooked and ate parts of him, mixed with the leftovers from Thanksgiving.
She also fried his head.
Yes. She fried his head.
Ew.
Or deep fried his head.
She deep fried his head.
Oh my God. The one thing I read said that she ate his rib cage with, like, she cooked it in barbecue sauce and ate it. But then she later, like, took that back and said, no, I didn't do that. But
I also read that.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't find any ribs. So
yeah.
There was a lot of this.
A lot of this guy was missing. Yeah. Like.
There was, like, literally 100. There's over 100 pounds of him missing.
Yeah. I think I saw it was like 160 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so they had asked her, like, you know, where's the rest of him? But there were also neighbors and stuff that didn't see things, but heard the garbage disposal continuously going.
Right?
I think it was an apartment. Mm. Yeah. So they just heard the garbage disposal continuously going. You know, I don't know. I'm sure she was just finding any way to dispose of him. Like, she had garbage bags. Or she had suitcases with garbage bags lined in the suitcase with, like, some certain body parts. Oh, my gosh. It's insane to me. And she really did not get as long of a sentence as I thought she should get.
Oh, that's some sick, twisted murder.
She got, like, 27 years or some shit.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what the final sentence was.
Because they got her for second-degree murder, I believe.
Yeah, they got her for second-degree murder. See, the thing is this is what happens. Okay, you probably got, like, and I don't know, this is just my conjecture. You probably got mostly men on the jury. So, you know, they don't want to send the pretty lady to the chair. You know what I mean? So that's probably why she got a bit of a...
And they said that... They thought, I mean, I think they said that she's psychotic.
Oh, yeah. You know,
she's completely psychotic. But I also think Because I think they couldn't do first-degree murder because they couldn't prove that it was premeditated.
Yep, exactly. So they got her with second degree.
First
degree is, like, premeditated. Second degree is, like, you all of a sudden get in a fight and kill somebody. Like, it wasn't planned, you know, like, that kind of shit. So I don't remember specifically what third is, but that's basically, that's the main difference between, like, first and second, like, is you planned it.
Argue that or something. I don't know.
With her history of
doing that,
swindling men, and
of doing all that.
Well, that's the thing. Like they had,
she immediately went to work.
Yeah,
on, you know, trying to cut up his body and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I want to go off of that because the thing that I was listening to is the fact that the coroner actually said that the body was cut so nicely that they questioned whether this was her first time doing this.
Really?
Oh man.
Yeah. Yeah, they said that she honestly did such a good job that they wondered if this was her first time.
She knew what she was doing.
Yeah. I mean, to me, this doesn't scream somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. I mean, if you're, I mean, really, I don't know.
I mean, she knew to try to get rid of the fingerprints. She was fucking eating him, ritualistically cut off his cock and balls.
Yep. That's what castrate means, everybody.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to Google it anymore.
The police sergeant that was doing this said that he described Omaima as the most disturbing and deranged individual he's ever encountered. Mm-hmm. I mean, girl's got some problems.
Yeah. But unfortunately, while she was in jail, that didn't stop her from getting married to some other dumbass.
People love jail, like, prisoners. Like, there are some deranged people in real life that just are infatuated and fall in love with fucking prisoners. Men and women.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for prison husbands and wives. It's like, so what do they have to offer you? Nothing.
They're stupid.
Like, all those... like fangirls for like Richard Ramirez.
Oh, it's yeah.
Like, dude, do you realize the fucked up shit this guy did?
Well, not
and
only
you're into him,
not like, only that, come like, on. He looks like he's a homeless crack addict. Are you serious? Like, yeah, he's got like 6 teeth. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I feel like I've read or heard that he can, like, you could smell his breath from fucking across the room. It was so bad.
Yeah. You know,
and he's
what?
Out there like raping and killing old, like, senior citizens.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, you are fucking disgusted.
Mm-hmm. We'll do a whole episode on Richie at some point.
Yeah.
But they'll get these people and they'll just write love letters back and forth and.
Yeah, fuck them. Let them have them. Like, go ahead. Go ahead. That's what you get, you dumb motherfucker. Like. I don't feel bad for him at all.
I don't either. I'm just like so like almost intrigued.
Yeah.
To the point, like, what do you get out of this?
Yeah.
Like what's in this for you?
It's so stupid. But yeah, I mean, apparently nowadays though, she is sitting on some money because that whoever she ended up marrying was supposedly pretty wealthy and ended up dying. So he ended up leaving a sizable inheritance to her.
So, yeah, she got married to some rich old guy.
Mm-hmm. While she was in prison.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I will say one thing that is kind of fun, and I'm surprised it didn't, like, cement her even more, and even, like, really why this was allowed, but at her trial, they had, like, some of her old boyfriends actually testifying. Like, that had to be so fucking damning. And, like, dude, imagine, like, sitting on... you're like sitting in a criminal trial where you're on trial for murder and you see an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend coming out as a witness, like, yeah. Motherfucker.
I still owe him $80.
Yeah, I know, right? But it's fucking
bonkers.
I heard
that she could get out on parole next year.
Oh my, how old would she be now?
58. I heard that she could get out this happened when she's 23. If she gets 27 year. Well, I thought. She was denied, and
she was denied twice. As far as I know,
she was denied twice. Yeah. I think the last time in like 2011.
She wasn't playing ball like in prison. Like she was being like difficult. Like wasn't like going to her like assigned like you know, like classes and sessions and stuff like that. Like, just, I don't know.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, you're
so,
right.
I mean,
if anything, hopefully that'll push it back a little bit.
Because that's bullshit. That is a horrific crime.
Yeah.
You should not be out in society.
Her defense, the defense was trying to say, like, or she was trying to say, like, if I didn't kill him, he would have murdered. Like, that was her defense.
That's all fine and good, but did you have to eat him?
Yeah.
That's the question. Did you have to eat him? Because I feel like you didn't have to eat him.
Yeah.
Okay. So she, and they were trying to defend how she cut up the body. And I don't know if this was her defense. I think it's her defense, where she did it so in, like, I don't know if it's like an Egyptian, I don't know if it's a religion or whatever.
Was she trying to turn him into a mummy?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
All right.
But she wanted to make sure she did not see him in the afterlife. So I don't know, like, if you dismember a body. I don't know. I didn't do the research.
Yeah.
But
she is Egyptian.
She did not want
He's
to
like
see
like half
him.
Wrapped up with toilet paper when the cops come in. Like, what the fuck?
She cut out his liver with surgical precision, but she does not know how to do the mummification.
First question to that old boyfriend, do you have any toilet paper?
I'm out of toilet paper.
I'm out of toilet paper. I need way more. Like, double ply if you got it. Like, come on.
Double ply.
All right, here you go.
What the hell? Oh my God, that's so fucked up.
Yeah. So,
but yeah,
it was like ritualistic, sort of. Like, the one thing I read said that at first, like, talking to a psychiatrist, she admitted to where, like, she purposely wore like a red dress and red heels and red lipstick and stuff, like, while, you know, she was murdered, which suggests that she knew she was going to do that. You know, if that's
if that part's true. Yeah, because I did hear about that as well. And that would.
That would have been a case for first degree, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
because they
did that for a reason.
Yeah. Well, they were thinking that before he got killed, that maybe they were doing some, like, bondage beforehand. Because I think he had, like, straps on his legs, which kind of, because when she was like, he was holding me captive and stuff. But they're like, yeah, okay, we hear that. We hear that, but, like, he's the one with the marks on his... He's the one with the marks on his ankles. So they thought that maybe... And I'm sure if you get married after him, I'm sorry, I'm sure he's a piece of shit, okay? He probably was.
Willie Nelson's awesome.
He was probably... He's probably a piece of shit. He probably was.
Willie Nelson's probably fucking awesome.
But...
He really does. William Nelson, I don't know about.
They thought
they're both awesome.
Maybe they were doing bondage, and then she
decided now's a good time.
Used that as a perfect opportunity to kill.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you got your nuts in a cage or something.
Yeah. I mean, or like, you know, handcuffed to the freaking bedpost. You know, like,
yeah.
You're not going anywhere.
You know, he's, you know, just got back from smuggling. You know, like a video camera and smoke a little pot. Hang up him to the bed. See where this goes.
Yeah, I mean, like, from what I, you know, was listening to earlier, supposedly she was into the rough stuff. So, I don't know.
Ugh.
But yeah, so that is the story of Omima Nelson.
Yeah. And that all happened. That, even though she came to that one guy's house December 1st, this all occurred Thanksgiving night.
Yeah. So it counts.
All happened Thanksgiving night. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. All right. Guess I'll take the next one.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one we got is the Jupiter, Florida Thanksgiving Massacre by Paul Michael Marriage. Why do they always give these guys three names? Like, when they're in the press, it's always like three names with serial killers and like assassins. Like, I don't know, whatever.
How many people is David Alan Greer?
Seriously.
Yeah, exactly.
I need to know.
Because I love David Alan Grier, and I'd be very sad if I found out he was a murderer. That sucks, dude, because in remember in The Watcher, man, like, Keanu Reeves' character was dangerously close to David Alan Griffin. Like,
yeah, it was.
It was David Alan Griffin is what it was. Like, that's fucking ridiculous, but, all right, no, sorry. Back to Paul Michael Marriage.
Previous episode, check it out.
Yeah, previous episode, there you go. Shameless plug. I love shameless plugs. But yeah, this is the weirdest spelling of marriage I've ever seen in my life. But apparently that's how it's pronounced.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Merhige.
Yeah, it's M-E-R-H-I-G-E. So,
Merhige.
Merhige, yeah.
Merhige.
But yeah, so this took place November 26, 2009 in Jupiter, Florida. 35-year-old Paul Michael Marriage attended a family Thanksgiving dinner despite being estranged. After eating and participating in activities, he opened fire, killing four relatives, his twin sisters, who one was pregnant, his aunt, and his six-year-old cousin, Michaela Sitton. He reportedly said he'd waited 20 years for this.
After you waited 20 years, but you killed a six-year-old,
I know,
okay?
I was thinking
the math isn't like, math, and you asshole.
It isn't math at all. Yeah, oh, this guy's a real piece of shit. He fled, but was eventually captured months later. He pled guilty in 2011 to avoid the death penalty.
Coward.
Pussy. Yep. And received seven consecutive life sentences. He also severely wounded Lisa's husband, Patrick Knight, who survived after months in a coma. So that's good. Good for him. But, yeah. One bad thing about this, God damn it. His sister Lisa actually had a restraining order against him, but dropped it after 3 weeks prior to this.
So she knew that he was
before
this. Yes. Like, cause there was a lot of, like, there's a big decline with this. But funny enough, he was actually, the way he got caught was he was recognized, by a motel manager that he was staying at while he was on the run because he watched an episode of America's Most Wanted.
Wow! That actually worked.
Yep.
That's how they got that John List guy.
Yeah.
He murdered his whole family.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the show works.
The show definitely fucking works.
Wow. Yep.
And he was arrested on January 2nd, 2010. So, yeah. But yeah, he got busted. Fucking, goddamn. What the hell was that?
John List?
No. The host of America's Most Wanted. John Walsh.
Oh, John,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, John Walsh. Yeah. John Walsh fucking got him, dude. It's awesome. Oh, man. All right. Kyle, you want
to? Yeah, nice. On? This is the one I wanted to bring up.
Myself. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got some opinions on this one.
Me too. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, this, of course, took place on Thanksgiving Day. And the guy's name, the homeowner here, Byron David Smith. Rename.
See, in my notes, he's just Byron Smith
because
he's a hero, not a murderer. So.
Right.
I don't
believe this guy really did anything wrong.
It really didn't.
Okay, well, let's go on and then we'll see what other people think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was a retired security engineering officer with the State Department, U.S. State Department. So he was living in Little Falls, Minnesota. 64 years old at the time. His home had gotten broken into a few times in this past several weeks, months, really. So he installed an alarm system with video cameras all over his house, you know, trying to catch who's trying to fuck with his shit, you know. And this is in 2012, too. So maybe not as advanced as stuff as we have today, but still perfectly fine, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty good.
So he was just sitting around on Thanksgiving Day. Goes into his basement, sets up the video camera and stuff, and he just chills there.
He waits with
his rifle.
Well, one of the things he also did was he took his car and he parked it, like, around the block.
Yes.
So it looked like
He looks like there. No one was home.
Yeah.
So, was it a setup? Yeah, but people people are breaking into homes. Like
the cops call that a sting.
Right.
Like, they're allowed to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So eventually, come around two teenage cousins. One was 18-year-old Haley Kiefer and a 17-year-old Nicholas Brady. So I found it a little odd that the leader here seemed to be like a girl. I mean, not to say girls can't rob houses, but like, it's not typical.
I mean, no, it's not. It's not typical. You don't see a lot of queen pins, you know, so.
Right.
You
they're
know.
Out there, I guess.
They're out there, you know.
Yeah, good for her, I guess. Well, not so much, actually. Because they took the bait. They took the bait.
Yes. And see, she's a terrible leader.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck off.
They took
the bait. She is.
Yeah.
Basically. Girl power.
Go ahead, sorry.
Dumbass. He hears, you know, glass break. People enter his home. And boom, he just, you know.
So breaking and entering.
Yeah.
Breaking and entering.
Well, yeah. Apparently.
Damage to property.
Like, I guess it was actually Nicholas who broke in, like, initially. And he went down there first. And so he shot him and basically, like, you know, had him fall, you know, came down into the basement with him. And then it was Haley who came in afterwards. And then he shot her and then let him fall down in the basement. So, yeah. So basically what happened is he ended up shooting these two kids to death, but then he didn't report it until the next day.
Yeah. Cause I heard the kids were missing for a day.
Yeah. And he also had an audio recording of himself doing it. And that's really, honestly, that's where he fucked up. Cause like, I just don't understand why you would do that. I mean, first off, okay.
Well, he said that he didn't want to bother the police on Thanksgiving, so he was going to wait the next day.
Oh, is that what the fuck he said?
Yeah, it
was. That's amazing.
Yeah.
He didn't want to bother the cops on Thanksgiving.
With two murders.
With two murders.
Then why did you choose Thanksgiving Day? You knew they were probably going to pick another day, too.
Why the fuck were those two breaking into houses on Thanksgiving?
Correct. Were their families, right?
Yeah. What the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
Well, that just shows them in whatever kind of state they were in. I wonder what time this was. If it was at night or I never really.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
About that.
I don't know.
But either way, you know.
But he claimed self-defense, which technically.
Yeah, I mean, like, it technically is. I also read that they thought he got charged for something else because they thought it was beyond self-defense.
Well, this is the thing, is like they convicted him of first degree murder in 2014. He got convicted and he was sentenced to life without parole. And of course, this sparked debates over the Castle Doctrine laws, which is the way it should fucking be. Like, mm-hmm. If somebody breaks into your house, free and clear, like, you should be able to take them out.
So I think, really, yeah. Too, like, besides the audio that he had, the fact that he moved his car, you know, but my understanding is I think that even that morning, those kids broke into another house, like, that same day.
So fuck those kids. And those kids are pieces of shit. Like,
they were, I mean, man. You're bound to get caught.
Yeah.
Like, you're bound to get caught.
Why are you doing it on Thanksgiving? Like, I have so many questions of just that.
I guess they probably thought that, you know, a lot of people are going to go out and go to relatives' houses.
They knew that guy was gone. They thought.
Yeah, they thought.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be gone all day because it's Thanksgiving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, instead of doing our Thanksgiving stuff, let's go rob him. Like, okay.
Right.
Like,
who steal his turkey?
But that is the thing, is like, he fucking, like, he went a little extreme.
It was premeditated.
It was. Like, it was a trap.
Wouldn't it, like, the recording help him?
No. No.
Well,
did you not hear what was on?
Say anything.
Well, did you hear about what some of the stuff that was on the recording?
No.
Because he was talking, like, he didn't kill him at first. Like, he shot him, like, in the legs.
Oh, okay. Oh, no, I didn't
know that.
Oh, yeah.
He went a little extreme. Oh, no, 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 I did not know that.
Like, he was, like, talking shit to him, like, as he was finishing them off.
Okay.
Oh, I could see that. Wow, he's just, like, I did not know that.
Yeah.
What I read, it just kind of says he... Yeah, shot
like we're saying something. It's like, now I got you, you fucking bit. You know, like it's like the recording really hurt him. I don't know why he made the recording.
Did you listen to the recording?
I didn't listen to the recording, but I saw like just in the story, it was like, this is some of the stuff that was said and blah, 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 and they found in the trial and shit like that.
Because I knew some of the stuff he said, which was not great, but I didn't think it was anything like horribly incriminating.
It was pretty bad. I don't know why he made the recording. Like that's where he fucked up more than anything else.
Now you have fucked up.
Yeah, he could have just been like, "Oh fuck!" Like, I don't know what happened. Like they broke in, and I was scared. And
guess what? I think shooting him in the leg teaches them a good enough lesson. I mean, really, like you shot him, if you shot them, be like, "Hey,
yeah."
Don't ever come. You will never come in my house again, or else
probably do some jail time. I mean, that's a felony.
The girl was 18.
Yeah. And you know what? Shooting them in the legs is good because if you shoot somebody below the waist, you can't get charged with attempted murder.
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. But I mean, I don't know, dude. At the same time, like I'm 100%. Like castle law, like 100%. Like somebody breaks in, like, dude, I don't know what you're gonna do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could be here just to steal stuff, or you could be here to murder both of us, you know? Like, and either way, no, we're not doing that. So,
right,
go fuck yourself. I love that thing too. It's like always like, well, like you kill somebody who broke into your house, like, what, you value your possessions more than somebody else's life? Yeah. And if somebody breaks into my house, they value my possessions more than their life.
Yeah, right.
So,
yeah.
Like, there you go.
But you got
I think it's further than that, too, because, like, now it's like, dude, like, my fucking kid's in my house.
See,
like,
there you go.
You, mm-hmm. 100%. Like, if somebody's in here, like.
Yeah. And it's, like, just one of those things, like, where you just don't feel safe anymore. Like,
no,
at all. You know, and we got like a friend of ours like moved. Mm-hmm. This is when somebody broke into his house one time and he had to go chase him off, and like just I don't think he ever felt right, you know, staying there anymore.
It actually made him move.
I think told me one time that was part of the reason.
I mean,
wanting
probably
to get out of there. But.
Yeah. I mean, like once that happens, like you're just like, I'm never going to 100% feel safer again.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just not going to cut it. So.
Yeah. And I get it. You know, just like somebody like violated, you know, you're violated your home. Like,
mm-hmm.
And that is almost, I mean, besides the killing, but it's one of the worst things. I mean, that's your life. That's like where you stay. Like, what are you going to do when you don't even feel safe in your own homestead, you know?
Right, exactly. Like, that's the one place where you should be able to be comfortable.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible. I mean, there's just another story. There was, like, similar to this, like, just happened. But, like, did you guys hear about that? Like, probably, it was a little while ago, but it was this kid who ended up killing three guys who were trying to break into his house.
I didn't hear that.
Did you hear about that? It was like a Home Alone thing.
It was
like the greatest Home Alone movie ever. But like basically what happened is like there was like three guys who were trying to kick down his door and break into his house. And this kid, you know, he'd gone hunting with his dad and everything like that, like knew how to use stuff. So he went and he was probably around 14 or something like that. But he ended up like grabbing a rifle and smoked all three of these dudes. And now, because they were fucking younger and shit, and they were like all brothers and shit like that. But now, like the fucking mom of them is trying to fucking sue the fucking family because he fucking killed their fucking kids.
Oh, it's like for it because they were trying
to break in, like literally, like it showed like there was like a Ring like camera and shit like that.
Yeah,
and they're like kicking, trying to kick the door down.
Damn.
You know? Yeah. But then, like, dude, fucking, like I said, just stood his ground and just smoked him.
Wow.
Like I said,
it was her to lose all three of her boys in one little.
Well, I mean, well, they that's what done, you they fucking get, done dude. That.
Yeah.
Like, that's especially like that. Like, you're not even like trying to sneak in. Like, it's we're coming in right now. Like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You can't blame when they're trying to kick down the door.
Yeah.
Like, you can't blame anyone for, you know, freaking out.
I don't know. I haven't heard anything since, but I'm assuming, you know, if that judge has a functioning brain cell, he threw that case out immediately.
Yeah. I mean, what grounds do you have to sue? Yeah,
exactly.
There was a just recently, I wasn't expecting to bring this up, so I don't know all the details on it, but
okay.
There was a woman who was just killed. She was a house cleaner and she went to the wrong house.
I heard about that. Yeah.
And the person shot her.
Oh no.
I know. And I think like, and it was like an, it was a complete misunderstanding. I guess the only thing I think they were like looking around for the house for a little, you know, whatever. I, you know, I'm assuming it's the first time she was going to this house, this mm-hmm. new house.
Yeah.
She went to the wrong one and got shot. It's like, oh God.
It's like, did she like go in and like start cleaning and
well,
stuff?
Well, this is, like, I don't know. The, see, that's I don't the remember thing. The
like,
details. Cause
like, I didn't hear that either. Like, I don't know. I was just wondering yeah, if you,
I don't
like,
remember the details that I wasn't expecting to bring it up today.
Yeah.
Right.
But it just happened.
She was just knocking on the door. Like, yeah, you don't have pause to just shoot somebody. But also if it was a new client or something, she's not just going to walk in the house.
Yeah, yeah, I would so, think so too. So like,
it was like if oh, all she did was knock on the Johnson, door, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Come in see, here on can... Wednesdays at 9 for the past 5 years. Like, I can just walk in.
Yeah, exactly. It's like somebody you've never met him before. Coming.
You're not just going to walk in their house.
Yeah, that's you what know, I would
and,
think
and, you know,
too.
Unless she was texting them and they said, oh yeah, just walk
just
on
walk in.
In.
Oh,
in
no.
Here. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Yeah, oh, yeah. No. I mean, that could be.
That could have been. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like, you know, like, oh, just walk on in. Oh, okay. Oh, but let me see if we can keep on talking about stuff. I'm going to see if I can find
it was very
recent.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to the next one here. We'll talk about Joel Guy Jr.'s dismemberment of his parents.
Joel Guy!
In 2016. Why is Thanksgiving so fucked up?
Oh, a lot of dismemberment.
Oh, my God. Okay. So here we go. So over Thanksgiving weekend in Knoxville, Tennessee, well, like I said, this is in 2016, 28-year-old Joel Guy Jr. stabbed and dismembered his parents, Joel Guy Sr. and Lisa Guy, after they announced they were cutting him off financially. I actually ran into a couple that were like this, where it was like rich kids who were getting cut off and decided to take their revenge on Thanksgiving. Like, there's actually more than one of these stories. But whatever. He ended up leaving a detailed murder manifesto. I'm sure that's great. And end up boiling his mother's head. Their remains were discovered days later when family checked on them, and Guy was convicted in 2020 and sentenced to life in prison. This guy, he kind of looked like Danny Tamborelli.
Yeah.
If you remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Danny Tamborelli was Little Pete and Little Pete. So yeah. Kind of looked like him. And another thing that during this time is I guess they were having a really hard time with jury selection for the trial because it was right in the, you know, height of the pandemic. So like everybody's like, no, I'm not coming to the courthouse to fucking sentence this asshole just because like,
even though it's a cool murder.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I guess that was a thing too. So
not that murder is cool. And a little bit more exciting than
trying to go for like
a hit and run or something
like that. Yeah, some traffic violation or some shit. But yeah, so that guy was a dickhead.
Yeah, what an asshole.
Like I said, that was just like a common thing. And it's like, dude, you're 28.
You get a job.
Like, of course.
Like, I mean, they should have cut him off a long time ago.
Yeah.
I was saying like, listen, we're not paying for your bills or anything. Did he live with them?
No.
So am I to assume
They were paying for his apartment and shit. I'm sure, like, yeah, all that shit. Dude, fuck this guy.
30, like, get a job and pay your own rent.
Yeah. Fucking loser.
You see, and that's so, like, you can't do that when a kid's like 28, because if you keep giving him money like that, 28 years old, like, if he doesn't know how to be an adult at 28, man,
he's done.
You're in trouble. Like,
yeah,
that is awful.
Yeah. And then they're so dependent on it when you do say, like, you know, we're cutting you off. Now you have a chance of getting killed.
Yeah, yeah, because he might just, you know, go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and fucking.
You're so lame, man. Yeah.
You know what I should do? I should fucking boil her head on the stove.
That'll show her,
because that's where she cooks all of her shitty food.
Then I can rifle through her purse.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that he's one of those kids who's probably like so entitled. He treats his parents like shit, but still wants their money.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
okay, you can't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, at least love your fucking parents, man.
Yeah. Oh, boy. All right. Kyle, do you want to take us through this one?
Can I just tell you real quick?
Oh, do we have an update?
I do have an update. This didn't happen on Thanksgiving, you know, but yeah, it happened recently. But about what's it called? Castle Law?
Castle Law.
So I guess this guy, so this happened in Indiana. And so they were going to what they thought was a model home to, like, tidy up the model home. But it was actually this guy's home.
Oh.
And they were outside the front door.
They were outside the front door?
They were outside.
Oh, that's bullshit.
That's what it says. But I guess this guy, he's a very paranoid guy. So she just picked the wrong house.
So
I guess the police had previously visited that residence twice for, quote, reports of suspicious activity that turned out to be completely false. It said that this guy actually had...
Like, he was the one who called the police?
Yes, for, like, previous, you know, times.
That there's ninjas out on the lawn, oh shit!
For ended up being like false.
Penguin driving around
he was one of these assholes. All right, gotcha. Yes,
so he was just a very paranoid person, and I guess a former neighbor, they said that when they first heard of this fatal shooting that was near her previous residence, the lady said she fearfully suspected it might be that. So, like, other people knew that. I guess this guy kind of he was very paranoid about the world. He lived a life just in complete fear, and they rarely socialized. So this lady just picked on house. And it says she was fatally shot outside the front door.
Okay. Yep. No. Yep. Sorry. You're getting locked up for that, bitch.
So you're getting locked up for that.
That's bullshit. Because you're not allowed to fucking shoot Jehovah's Witnesses when they come knocking on your fucking door.
Dude, you get fucking FedEx, yeah, UPS people,
yeah,
Amazon.
Exactly. Amazon delivery drivers, like... Like, no, it doesn't extend to that. Jesus Christ.
And I would suspect if you were a very suspicious person, you probably have cameras. Why don't you talk through your Ring doorbell and be like, who are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Fuck off my property.
Yeah, or
say that. Get the fuck off my property. Yeah, whatever it is. Don't
I'm gonna
shoot.
Give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly four reflection.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna give you, snakes.
Tell me you love me.
What?
Get on your knees and tell me.
Down on your knees and tell me you love me.
It was Cliff.
I love you.
I love you.
Guys are showing our hand for the next couple weeks. Goddamn. That's great. All right, so Kyle, can you tell us about the Jermond family murders from 1930?
Jermond.
Yeah, we found an old one. So most of these are like unsettlingly recent. So
this one, 1930, the Jermond family murders takes place in New York on Thanksgiving Eve, Pleasant Valley, New York, dairy farmers. I believe a part of the Borden group, which still is a huge milk production company now.
Mm-hmm. So, nice.
Good for them. Longevity.
Longevity?
Yeah. It's a word. No.
Is it longevity?
Longevity? Wasn't 10 seconds ago, but it is now. So.
I like it.
I'm pointing that one. Yep, there you go. Nice. Longevity.
No, longevity sounds better. Yeah.
I like
that. That extra syllable just sounds, it sounds more professional.
It
sounds
does. Better.
Okay, so the farmers, this whole family got massacred.
Damn.
They, James Germond and his wife, Anna, they're in their 50s. Their daughter, Bernice, who was 20, were all bludgeoned to death with an axe on an isolated farm out there in rural New York.
Yeah.
And no signs of robbery. The killer knew the layout. When I was reading about this, there were some other people, maybe farmhands, that were found killed, like, in the milk barn,
really?
Too.
Really?
Yeah. Like, somebody from the Borden facility, like, the guy didn't show up to work or something.
Okay.
So, like, they were just kind of wanted to come and see what was up, checked on him. And, like, he just noticed things seemed off when he coming up to the farm. Like, there was just, it was just eerily quiet, save for, like, the cows in the barn that were, like, you know, like, mooing and stuff because, like, they needed to, like,
get milk.
Because, yeah, they were just, like, you know, about to explode over here with milk. And so that's where the guy checking on him went to go first and saw, like, two dead bodies in there. Bludgeoned to death, and you know, went to the house, saw the wife and the daughter murdered as well, with, like, you know, there was, like, defense wounds on their hands, like they were definitely trying to stop somebody from killing them.
Damn.
So, but no signs of robbery. It's like the killer knew where they were going, what they were doing. So even then, the governor was Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Was he also president at the same time? Can they do that?
No.
Okay. No,
he was. This is before he was president.
Okay, okay. Because I know he was president for fucking a long-ass time.
Oh,
Four terms. I mean, that's 16 years.
Yeah.
Honestly, he might have been.
No, he was president. He started in 1933.
There you go. So okay. He finished off being governor and then went straight to president.
I see.
Yeah.
So, Franklin D. Roosevelt was involved, Pinkerton detectives, and there was a suspect, their neighbor, his name was A.J. Curry. He was accused and just acquitted because there wasn't enough evidence. And theories include it was a grudge over land or like a rejected suitor. For the daughter, Bernice, never was solved. They had to let him go because there wasn't enough evidence. And one of the relative of one of the sheriffs who was working on this, actually, this guy, James Starrs, who apparently became a forensic expert. And in 2000, he wrote a book that he concludes that it was very good chance that it was A.J. Curry who did this based on, like, some of the evidence that was still available and that they could, you know, analyze with a more advanced lens with the technology they have today or in 2000.
It's crazy how, because this was in 1930, like, how easy would it have been to find a killer?
I know,
with the technology that we have now, like
I mean, they're not even thinking about fingerprints.
I mean,
or hair, like no, like
anything, like I mean, let alone cameras or
things.
Like
yeah.
You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. It's wow, guys, crazy, but it's clearly somebody close to them, you know, because it's if they knew the layout of the land, that was a. That was a premeditated crime of passion, for sure.
Maybe. I don't know. That's kind of. I mean, a
if
lot
you
of
kill a whole family.
Yeah, but
that's
like,
a crime of passion to me. No,
not necessarily.
You think a crime of passion is just hitting somebody like 1,000 times?
Maybe. I mean, possibly. I don't know. The whole thing, like, I mean, they say that he knew the layout and everything like that, but it actually really reminds me of the Villisca axe murders. And there's like this whole theory that like it was a guy who was like riding the rails and shit like that. And they even said in that one that it seemed like he knew the property, but they weren't 100% sure. But like, it's basically the same kind of thing that happened here, the same kind of crime. And that was only 18 years prior to this, because that happened in like 1912. So it's possible, I don't know, like it's possible that maybe if there was this guy who was riding the rails and like he basically killed a whole family there, like that was kind of his thing, and then killed the whole family here by beating
him.
But
no signs of robbery?
I don't know. It's very similar.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how many people got killed by axes back then. Like, there's probably a decent amount. Ew. But, I mean, it's just like the M.O. is very similar to that
Wharton
case.
Thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what year that was, but I think it was before any of those.
Lizzie Borden was like 1890, something like that. I think.
Yeah, you're right.
So yeah, that was even before that. But, I mean, man, it could have been done by the same killer, you know, if Lizzie didn't do it.
It was Lizzie Borden, damn it.
I don't know. I heard, who the hell? Said, I think like when I went to the house, the tour guide said that he thought that it was the other sister who ended up surviving.
What is it,
Alaska? No. I went to the Lizzie Borden house.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Like way back and like toured there and stuff like that. And yeah, I'm pretty sure that the tour guide said that he thought that Lizzie was actually innocent and that her sister had done the murders. And then, you know, they, you know, went with Lizzie because she knew that she would get acquitted, you know, and stuff like that. So she's kind of let her kind of like go through
really
it and stuff.
Depressed
or something. Yeah, she was kind of fucked up.
Where is that?
I remember. Lizzie Borden, where the Iowa, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
it was like East Coast for some reason.
It might be. It might be.
Think of like Salem.
Oh, it is. You know what? It is. It's in Massachusetts. I'm completely wrong. So, yeah. That makes sense. Yeah, we stopped there when we were doing like our northeastern loop where we just kind of like drove up to Maine and then kind of like slowly worked our way back down. It's cool.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah.
Trip.
Yeah. I remember we stopped in Providence, Rhode Island to drink a beer and go to the bathroom. So it counts. So yeah, I can cross that one off the list as well. I don't know. They had this cool, like weird little like section, and like it was like a almost like a amphitheater, you know, kind of like set up with like down the bottom and then a bunch of stone like seating area going around it and stuff. I don't know. It was kind of cool. But yeah, or it was Curry. Who fucking knows? I don't know. At this point, 1930, like, you know.
I do wonder, and I didn't look into it hard enough either, but like what the actual evidence was. Why does this guy think that it is him? You know, like what could he possibly have discovered with that old ass evidence?
I mean, if he possibly found some DNA, he said he was a forensic expert, so he might have been able to get his hands on some DNA or something. Like, I don't know. But yeah, maybe it was him. I don't know. All right, so we got another one from this one's from Tacoma, Washington. This is another unsolved one, but it's the Thanksgiving Day double murder from 2002. So on Thanksgiving Day 2002, during a family gathering in Tacoma, Washington, a gunman burst in and opened fire, killing 19-year-old Kimberly Riley and a 5-year-old boy and injuring others. Apparently they believed it was some kind of gang related thing or some targeted dispute spilling over or something. Apparently they had a bunch of witnesses and some cold case reviews, and they even tried some recent DNA stuff, but it remains unsolved after 20 plus years.
Wow. And all those witnesses, because there's Thanksgiving dinner.
Yep.
Or was there not witnesses? Was it like a little short Like, did they say how many people were there?
I don't have how many people were there, but like a family gathering, so there's decent, but
yeah.
You know, if everybody's just like, we're not telling you nothing, like,
I know,
then you're not getting anywhere. So it's just kind of the way it is. But yeah. All right. Do you have any other ones, or you just want to keep rolling with these guys?
I can read that one.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it. This is one I went a little bit deeper on. This guy, we could probably do a whole episode on this asshole.
Oh, then why don't you read it?
No, go for it. Okay. All right. So we're talking about James Craig Collar. I think I'm spelling that. Yeah, got that correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a former utilities director from Columbia, Missouri, who committed a quadruple homicide on November 28th, 2009, Thanksgiving weekend in Burlingame, Kansas.
Jesus.
So this guy, he had a deteriorating marriage with his estranged wife, Karen. She had filed for divorce earlier that year and actually begun a relationship with another woman. So, nice. Collar, who was devastated by the breakup, lost his job and basically was like, she fucking betrayed me. Like, I don't know. This guy was like a controlling, abusive piece of shit to Karen. Like, he was like really fucking bad. Like, physically, mentally, like, you know, he basically, you know, was like one of those, you have to give up your career for me, like one of those guys, and like, I want a family. They actually had a contract for having one more kid. Like, they had like a written agreement. It was fucking weird. Because they had two girls. And Karen was basically like, okay, like, that's enough, I'm done. And he wanted one more, probably because he wanted a boy, which he ended up getting. But, like, yeah, I guess, like, they, like, drew up paperwork that after having one more kid, like, he would get a vasectomy or some shit. Like, it was a really weird fucking situation. He seemed like one of those dudes who, like, always wanted to try to get people to sign weird documents and shit. Like, I don't know, he's fucking weird.
Yeah.
But...
he probably like created his own fine print, like on the bottom of the back or something. Yeah. Like, just kidding about the vasectomy.
Yeah. Like, even to the point where like he demanded giggity, like pretty much every single night. And like would get super pissed at her if she wasn't in bed by like 8:45. For like his scheduled fucking booty.
I'd leave him immediately.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, what are you doing?
Like, either that, or do you want me to have a headache every single day?
Yeah, exactly.
I have a headache.
Oh, the classic.
8:45, fucking come on.
Exactly. Like, it was to the point that even their kids knew not to bother them after like 8:30. Like, it's weird. It's like, all right, I'm gonna go upstairs and fuck your mom. All right, like, you don't say that to a kid. Even I know that.
That's fucked up.
I don't know. But eventually, Karen pulled her head out of her ass and was able to, you know, file for divorce and all that. And like I said, how she actually met this other woman that she ended up in the relationship with. He was at first like, that was another thing. He demanded that, like, oh, we got to get another woman into this relationship. And like, I want another woman to, you know, bang and all this shit, basically, and got her to go along with it. Which at first, like, she went and actually found this chick. She actually met her. He allowed her to work at a powerhouse gym or something like that. Like one of those, like Planet Fitness, as like a trainer. And that's where she ended up meeting this other chick.
He allowed her to work?
Yeah. He allowed her to work.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sure.
And that's where that's where she met her. And like I said, at first he was all about it. He was thrilled. But then, you know, like Ross and friends, she ended up pushing him out. And like they both kind of got together. I guess they ended up like going to some kind of party with like at somebody's house and ended up getting into a huge fight because I think they had moved and he made her break it off with her. And then they were like back in town and going to a party that they didn't think she was going to be there. And as soon as they walked in, she was there. So like he went nuts and like they got into this big fight. I guess she ended up like grabbing her and like making out with her in front of everybody to like, just to like, fuck you. Oh my God. She was so pissed. Like, yeah. So he ended up, you know, whoever was having the party asked them to leave. And that's just when things really fucking ramped up. Like, she ended up, you know, filing for divorce and everything like that. And, like, finally pulled her head out of her ass and tried to get away from this guy. So this was after that. But after she ended up moving in with his wife's grandmother, actually, who was this woman, Dorothy White. So they were staying there while, you know, getting the divorce finalized and getting back on her feet. So basically, he ended up rolling over there and he was armed with a rifle. And he entered the house and he shot Dorothy, Karen, and their daughters, Emily, who was 18, and Lauren, who was 16.
So he kept the son?
He did. Yeah, he let the son live, actually. Like, or the son escaped. It was one or the other. Like, he basically, like, the son wasn't hurt.
I could totally believe that he chose not to.
Yeah. I think so, and I think that's what it is. Like, because basically the two girls were kind of going with the mom because, you know, they were old enough to see that, like, oh, dad's kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
If I don't get away from dad right now, he's going to lock me up in chains in the basement or some shit.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, his 10-year-old son, Sean, like, he basically, like, he actually had a decent relationship with him. Like, they would hang out and go hunting and stuff like that. So, like, they were kind of good. Yeah, exactly.
He killed the old lady, 89 years old.
He did. So, yeah, he killed her. He actually chased Lauren through the house before fatally shooting her.
Ugh.
His 10-year-old Sean, yeah, was present but spared. One of the victims, Lauren, actually survived long enough to identify her father as the shooter to arriving deputies.
Good.
Because after he killed them, he ended up taking off. He was arrested the next day. And then in 2011, an Osage County, Kansas jury convicted him of capital murder after a trial where he argued severe depression and mental distress. I was sad. Yeah.
So I murdered my family.
He was actually sentenced to death, which is good.
Good.
So, but the thing is like, this is probably the saddest part, is his son actually requested that they didn't give him the death penalty because he'd already lost everybody else and he didn't want to lose his dad too.
Well,
but that's, hey, you know, it's kind of the way it goes.
Well, your dad's the reason you don't have a family.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess the kid ended up going to live with his grandparents, stuff like that. So at least he didn't get put into like foster care or something like that. So. But yeah, so that's
his... That would be the dad. All right. Well, that was... Karen was living with her grandmother.
Yeah, her grandmother. Her grandmother. So... But yeah, so that's that one. He's actually still alive. He's still on death row. So he's just kind of awaiting stuff. Because it takes forever. Yeah, so... You know, you got appeals and shit like that. Like, I guess he tried to appeal a couple times and they just kind of told him to go fuck himself, so. Which he should. But yeah, so that is the story.
It was my wife's fault.
James, yeah, exactly. It's like, I didn't do it. I was sad. Like, I love your thing. It's like, I was just sad.
It makes me think of that around here in, how was that, like, Ridge Park, the Cracker Barrel thing?
Oh, where that guy
ran out to his car and ended up killing, like, his wife and daughters. They tried to, like, run into the kitchen, I heard, and they wouldn't let him back there. So they ran into the restroom, and that's where, you know, he took them out.
Yeah, dude. They
cornered themselves, unfortunately. But
yeah, that's not great. That's fucked up.
What, did you try to say he was sad?
I think pretty much. I think, like, she wanted to get a divorce or something, and he just was like, well, I can't have you guys. No one can.
So fucking lame, dude. Such a fucking loser.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, just take the L. Just take the L and move on. Yeah, you know, it sucks. It sucks for a little bit, but, like, just take the fucking L. I don't know. Whatever. Well, this is the last one that I got. Amanda, you wanna take this one?
Sure.
Cool.
Hey, this is the Corey Parker stabbing. From 1998. On November 27th, 1998, which was the day after Thanksgiving, 25-year-old Corey Parker, a waitress at Ragtime Tavern, and community college student at Jacksonville Beach, Florida. She was found brutally murdered in her apartment. She had been stabbed approximately 101 times.
Jeez.
That's excessive.
Yeah.
That's a crime of passion. 101 times.
Yeah, yeah. You want to know what a crime of passion is? That's a fucking crime of passion.
With about 54 wounds inflicted post-mortem. Crime of passion.
Yep.
Showing defense injuries indicating she fought back. The attack was described as overkill.
Oh, you think?
With her body posed suggestively and no signs of forced entry. The case went unsolved for nearly 2 years despite extensive DNA evidence, hair and blood from the killer found at the scene. Investigators initially focused on her coworkers and friends who ruled them out. In 2000, a tip led police to her 17-year-old neighbor, Eric Denny, full
there
name.
There you go. Full fucking name.
Who had been
yep.
spying on her. Reports of a peeping Tom at her windows. Denny had moved away, but surveillance in Maryland captured him spitting on the ground. Detectives collected the saliva and DNA matched the evidence from Parker's apartment. Denny claimed he never knew her and offered implausible explanations. Carrying his hair inside.
What?
Yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He was arrested, convicted of first-degree murder in 2005 after a quick jury deliberation, and sentenced to life in prison without parole.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
So wait, did he say he no longer lived there?
He had moved, but they were told, like, hey, you should go check this guy out. So they just went and started doing surveillance on him.
Yeah.
And just kind of watching him, and then they, like a dumbass, is just like, oh, here, I'll put some DNA over here. You know, and did that. And that's how they fucking got him. They collected
and they said
DNA.
A cat carried my hair inside the crime scene.
And it scratched me, too. That same cat, he scratched me and he wiped my blood all over her face.
Right.
Like, totally. He's a bad kitty, man. He's a bad kitty.
And how old was she? I forget.
She was like 25.
Okay, 25. He's 17, so he was just kind of stalking her.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. Fuck that guy. Fuck that guy.
Keeping time at her windows. That is scary as shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, so Thanksgiving is fucked up. Do you guys have any more? Because that's... That wipes me out, so...
Can't forget about the... You guys remember ever hearing about that... it was in New York City... The cannibal cop?
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Let's go into that.
The cannibal cop. Gilberto Valle.
He probably ate some cocks. So.
Cannibal cock.
He loves the cock. Sorry. That is a tongue twister. I'll give you that. That is a tongue twister.
I guess this does remind me of that guy, Armin Muse, too, who did actually eat that guy's dick.
Yeah.
But
how many cops could a cannibal cop
got? It was consented.
That's a tongue twister.
That's rough.
How many cannibal cops could
cocks?
Okay.
Cocks. All right.
Well, this freak got arrested for he was found like going on these like cannibal forums and like chat websites and saying that he was going to be cooking girl meat for Thanksgiving.
Why is there allowed to be cannibal forums?
I don't know. Like Freedom the cannibal speech. Cafe that like Armin Muse used in either late 90s, early 2000s. I believe that's shut down now. But
there's a Reddit.
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly. But like, supposedly people's like, you know, it's just some kind of weird fetish who off on it somehow. You think it's cool, but like at what point then are you actually going to act on it? Because this guy, he did get arrested for this, but like he never actually did anything, so you know, it's more of a thought trend.
So you're just putting him on a list.
You can't really. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, he'll be on a list.
Let's keep an eye on this guy.
But you're going around trying saying shit like that, like you shouldn't say shit like that. Really? So
I wonder what balls taste like. Like just right. Don't go running around just
balls.
Like, yeah, you know what? Keep that kind of shit to yourself. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, he's no longer a cop.
Okay, well, that's good.
He did serve 21 months in jail, prison, freed in 2014, where he went and moved back in with his mom. So,
of course he did.
Yeah, what an asshole.
That's fucking great. That's fantastic. Nice. You guys got anything else?
I have another one where cool. It's called the I don't even know as is Ayales Clay Oliver. It says Colorado father kills son over unfinished Thanksgiving chores. So honestly, it just starts almost as like any standard like family drama, and it just escalates just so quickly.
Escalates more and more and more.
So, the annoyance that Ayales Clay Oliver, 76 years old, that the annoyance that he felt toward his son Keith, who was 49.
I know these are old men.
Yes, these are old men.
Isn't he like a little old to be given chores?
Okay, correct. Okay, I got a lot to say about this one.
Okay.
Kind of true. More or less, like, help me out, motherfucker. I'm old.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Like that, I get. But, like, just referring to them as, you didn't do your chores.
So,
yeah.
The annoyance that he felt over his son, who's 49 years old, over his refusal to help out around the house, escalated to homicidal rage in 2009. And actually, this happened on Thanksgiving Day. So apparently the father and son had reportedly been, quote, arguing for hours. And this was per Ayales' wife and Keith's mother. But she had asked her son to leave. And when the son refused to leave, the father went upstairs, retrieved his revolver, and shot Oliver to death. He just shot his son to death.
Yeah. 357 Magnum.
Damn, dude. Really?
Oh, he blew some holes into his son.
Fuck,
man.
Yeah. He fucked him
so
up.
He literally, and the funny thing is that, so he was 76 years old. The son is 49 years old. I feel like this had to have been their relationship the whole life. Like, and this was just like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Oh, I'm sure.
The
like,
absolute
he's not doing
point.
Chores. She said to leave. I'm not leaving. You're almost 50 years old, motherfucker. Boom.
Yeah.
Like.
But that's what she was trying to tell him to leave. So it's not like he didn't live in the house, right? Is that how I took it, right?
Well, I don't know. Because
maybe she was just like, get out of here until he cools off, you know, or goes to bed.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I'm not really certain on that one.
But like refusal to help out around the house. Like to me, that's a very, just a normal family spat. Like, some shit around the house.
With that, I would assume that he probably does live there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're just asking him to, like, help with, like, random shit around the house like that. Like, okay.
I would, too. I would make the assumption.
If you're 49 and you're still living with your parents, they're allowed to give you chores.
Yeah. Because they are pretty old.
Yeah.
And well, so you should just help them out without them trying to beg you to, you know, wash some dishes or, you know.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
I should preface.
Get the Christmas tree out of the attic.
I should preface that I say this sounds like normal family, you know, spat. But, like, I feel like it's normal if the kid is, like, a teenager and the parent is, like,
49.
Yeah, exactly. Not like the child is 49 and the dad is 76.
That is just the strange thing about that one.
Exactly. Then you wonder, like, is this kid just a freeloading piece of shit? He doesn't deserve to die. But is it, you know, is this just been years and years and years of this guy just like freeloading off his parents, and then his dad was already just like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I've had 49 years of this. I'm about to have 50 years of this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of the Knoxville one.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Guy Jr. had not killed them and just kept going until he was 49,
he would have
gotten killed instead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the cutoff, 50. Okay, sure.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, like, Thanksgiving Day. So, like, what was he not doing? Like, washing the dishes or something? Or, like...
He wouldn't set the table.
He wouldn't set the table. Wouldn't take out the trash. Like, oh my God.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. To me, chores is just menial tasks. Yeah. It's not like, hey, I need you to go...
I need you to help pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
You know, right. It's just...
Yeah, like, pick up my prescription. Yeah, I don't like that kind of shit.
Yeah, he's not asking you to, like, put new shingles on the roof. You know, like, that's a fucking job. You know, like, doing some dishes is helping out, or raking leaves, that's helping out. Just
can you take out the trash?
It just said refusal to help out around the house. It's like, that's crazy to me. And I got this off of, I'm pretty sure we looked off probably the same website. I know there was a website that was just called
Crime Feed. I remember seeing the picture.
Yeah. Yeah, because Crime Feed was, I thought it was very cool because it had what it did was it had summaries of like these major crimes, and then I would like look deeper into them.
Yeah.
But
that's kind of what I was doing too. Mm-hmm. I was like, give me a list, and then like I was like picking ones and be like, all right, tell me more about this one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I mean, it was so nice. Interesting, but God, I mean, I feel like this, if out of anything, like this shows us, I mean, thankfully, I think that we all have pretty good families that are fairly normal on holidays, but you know, holidays could apparently go the extreme and, you know,
we get that
negatively as well. If you're
mixed with a lot of alcohol, bad shit can happen real quick.
Yeah. Or just, you know, like sometimes
really good times, or you get your head blown off with a 357 Magnum by your own father.
Yeah.
For getting fucking lippy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know Thanksgiving, I enjoy going. I mean, my family gets together because we enjoy each other. But I think maybe some families get together out of force.
Yeah.
Like because they think they're supposed to.
They're supposed to.
Yeah.
And maybe that's when this type of shit happens. Who knows?
Well, I mean, thankfully, I guess Thanksgiving is extremely low key for me. So
yeah,
like we have it here actually. So
nice.
Yeah, we host. Yeah, because I mean it's usually just me, Julie, my mom, and her dad.
Nice.
Yeah, like that's usually who it is. So yeah, just cook a bunch of stuff. I mean, like we cook enough for like 20 people, but yeah, still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, everyone can take some home.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Thanksgiving. Like, I need like three different. I need like three different types of potatoes. I'm fucking Irish. You know, like, that's what we do. So, yeah, but
I think I had just one that was. I don't want to get too into it because I mean it could possibly. This could possibly be a whole episode. Honestly,
all right. Well, I'll give us. The I just clip notes. Just
throw it out there just because it's cool. But this happened November 24th, 1971. And I'm referring to the plane jacking of D.B. Cooper, because that was right around Thanksgiving.
Okay, all right. If not, yeah, this could definitely be a whole episode, but let's just do a clip.
But
notes,
it's just
whatever.
Cool, like, if you don't know anything about it, this guy just wearing, like, a generic black suit, black sunglasses, gets on a plane, hands the stewardess a note, and it says, like, I have a bomb. Give me money. So
yeah, pretty much.
They were
money
able,
me. She like wrote a note like freaking Charlie's mom. I need money.
Yeah.
Money me.
Money me.
Need money.
He really only asked for $200,000. I mean,
oh, it was like back in 1971.
But yeah, still, like, if you're gonna like, well, I mean, but you have to understand that plane travel was a hell of a lot different back then. I mean,
oh, like, yeah,
you could just walk up to the counter and be like, "Hey, I want to go to Florida right now." Mm-hmm. All right, and that's it.
Yeah,
you smoke on the plane, whatever.
Fuck yeah, dude. Airplane travel used to be fucking awesome, and now it sucks. So
yeah, they stopped in Seattle. Passengers got off. He was given the suitcase with the money, and he also requested two parachutes. So he was told him to take off. So they got in the air again. He just bails with the parachutes, never to be seen again.
Yeah.
I read about that, and it's fucking incredible.
I know, it's crazy. DB Cooper
is fucking awesome.
It's a great story. I mean, it's...
And the fact that he got away with it. He
could have gotten away. I mean, he kind of went down into, like, some wilderness.
He did.
But if he did, you know what? That was... He knew exactly where he was, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he planned that. He planned that freaking out. And then if he landed somewhere where he didn't know, guess what? He had the resources to get himself out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
DB Cooper is pretty fucking awesome.
I know. So that's why I didn't want to go too much into it, because I would gladly talk about that for an hour and a half at some point.
100%. Oh, gladly.
Yeah, we'll totally do a DB Cooper episode at some point.
Yes.
Yeah. DB Cooper is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I was like fascinated by that story ever since, you know, being just a little kid in like school and like checking out like Mysterious Mysteries books, you know, and that was always in there, and like it's fascinating.
Yeah, and he probably made it.
Yeah, I like to think he made it.
So,
all right, you guys got anything else?
That's about it. There was the one story about the girl getting an argument with like her half brother or something and stabbing him in the neck with a turkey fork.
But oh, I read about that one too.
That's about it.
I missed that one.
They just got into a squabble a or something.
Just a family spat.
Yeah. Yeah. Go Cowboys. Go Rams. Fuck you.
Him in the neck with a meat carving fork. And I don't know.
I think he lived.
Yeah, no one died. Yeah. She got like a minor charge for like, I don't know.
Just stabbed him.
You know how to stab people. Yeah, that's frowned upon. Yeah, so.
It was frowned upon. She did get, she got booked.
Yep.
Nothing substantial.
That's I guess
she was probably back for next Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Yeah.
And now they got a great
last
story.
Year they when you pissed they me just, off. And yeah.
They stuck to the plastic utensils.
Yeah.
How the fuck am I supposed to cut the turkey with this shit? Yeah. Just because somebody gets stabby when the Cowboys score a touchdown, but
the prong breaks off in like the piece of meat.
God damn it! Just that pissed off Thanksgiving dad. It's losing $50 on the game.
Happy fucking Thanksgiving!
Just takes it out on the whole family.
I drive a Dodge Stratus. Do you remember that SNL?
No.
It's just they were all just, I don't think it was, I don't know if it was a Thanksgiving, but everybody was at dinner, and then they all just start, whatever, nitpicking, and the dad just gets up. I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Nice.
I gotta watch that again.
That's fucking great.
Well, Amanda, you got anything else?
I don't. You kind of
tapped out as well. All right, cool. Well, that was Thanksgiving crimes. And yeah, I can't speak for you guys, but I definitely learned that Thanksgiving is way more fucked up than Halloween.
Yeah. I think one of the things I read, it is the like deadliest holiday.
Really?
Just with all like the crimes, you know, that have happened, and you know, also including all the drunk driving accidents.
I was gonna say, thinking about it, yeah, it does make sense if you think about it, because you're taking a bunch of people who don't normally get together and you're throwing them all together and then just pouring a bunch of booze on top of it.
Right.
Like
right.
Shit could potentially happen.
Yeah.
The one thing I read said Thanksgiving, the night before and the day of Thanksgiving is more DUIs and drunk driving accidents than New Year's.
No shit.
Oh, I believe that.
No shit. So yeah, be careful out there, guys.
Yeah.
And yeah, you know, if you got any crazy Thanksgiving stories, we would absolutely love to hear them. So you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram or our Facebook page. And I suppose on behalf of Lapotomized, I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Amanda.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Woo-hoo. Gobble, gobble.